I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Early in October, there was an opinion piece in the New York Times Sunday Review section by John Tierney, The Reign of Recycling. And he subsequently was a guest on our program shortly thereafter. He writes the column Findings for the Science Times section. He said in the very controversial piece, despite decades of exhortations and mandates, it's still more expensive for municipalities to recycle household waste than to send it to a landfill. The future looks bleak, he wrote, as cities move beyond recycling paper and metals and into glass, food scraps, and assorted plastics. The costs rise sharply while the environmental benefits decline and sometimes vanish. After that show, a lot of people said you need another point of view. And we received a letter. Let me read the beginning of it. Dear Ms. Dunn, I listened with interest to your recent show in which you and your guest, Mr. Tierney, discussed recycling, its challenges nationally, and your guest's somewhat narrow editorial on recycling. I'd relish the chance to give your listeners a very different perspective on the role of recycling in Wisconsin and why it's essential that we take steps to secure and grow the most popular and successful environmental program in our state's history. And so we said, yes, we would love to have you on the air. And so Melissa Johnson is joining us as one of our guests this hour of the program to talk about recycling. And we have two guests with us, actually, for the course of this hour to talk about recycling. And we'll be welcoming phone calls. Welcoming phone calls at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show. The writer of the letter to us, Melissa Johnson, is president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin. She is also director of Marathon County's Solid Waste Department. Melissa, thanks for the letter, and thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for taking the time to hear about Wisconsin's recycling story.
Our pleasure. Lynn Morgan is also with us, Waste Management, Public Affairs Manager for Waste Management of Wisconsin. Lynn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Oh, did we get a lot of response to that Tierney column in the New York Times? And I would imagine that many people who do what you do were pretty upset by it. Melissa?
Absolutely. Upset, I don't know. They were a little puzzled, perhaps, and a little upset because recycling has been very successful in Wisconsin. It, you know, ebbs and flows with the economy, like many things do, but we've had great success in Wisconsin. We've got a lot of great, hardworking people who make sure that it happens right, even though we've seen diminished funding, but It's a good thing, and we want to focus on not just its environmental aspects, but how it really contributes to Wisconsin's growth economically and just really provides a strong basis for additional growth into the future.
Tell me how we have grown the industry. Did we start with paper and cardboard, and then we moved to aluminum cans, and now we're moving more to plastic? Or what's the state in Wisconsin? What are we recycling quite successfully, and what would you like to see us recycle? Lynn, do you want to take that, or whoever wants to take it?
Sure, Lynn can.
Okay, Lynn?
Sure. Well, we've got some great news there. In Wisconsin, our state's recycling efforts by businesses and homes keep about 1.7 million tons of material out of landfills and incinerators. So that's material that is being reused, repurposed, and given a new life by manufacturers who can use those items as raw feedstock. There are more reasons than ever to recycle. Not only does it save energy, but one fact that's emerged since the passage of Wisconsin's recycling law about 25 years ago is that there's a big connection between climate change and recycling. When it comes to greenhouse gas emissions, recycling is the equivalent in Wisconsin alone of taking about 470,000 cars off the road.
Hmm. You want to add to that, Melissa?
Well, when Lynn and I were talking about this, and when she said 470,000 cars off the road, and then she added, and I think this is a good add-in, and of course for you, Kathleen, from the Milwaukee area, that's about the equivalent of taking all the cars off the road in Milwaukee.
Woo!
Yeah, and think about all the clean air that could be realized and enjoyed by all the Milwaukeeans without all of those cars on the road. So because Wisconsinites have taken from their kitchens and from their businesses and restaurants the things that need to be recycled, and Wisconsin's recycling professionals have taken them and sorted them out, collected them, sorted them, sent them on to be made into other things. That's what this is about. That's a lot mm-hmm. of clear air.
Tierney suggested, as you know, on his show, that the only things really worth recycling are cardboard and paper and aluminum cans. He talked about food waste being, you know, you may as well send them to landfills. There's nothing wrong with that. That those are the big ticket items, and a few metals, he said, as well. Everything else inconsequential. Do you want to take issue with that, Melissa?
Sure. And again, Mr. Turney's point of view is certainly one point of view. And we could, you know, build landfills, but I don't know that we want to do that, because what we want to do with landfills is really save them for the things that really need to go there. So as communities like Brown County and Dane County look at diverting food waste from landfills, you know, some of them are small pilot scale, some of those items have value outside of a landfill for composting. Why would we want to necessarily send them to a landfill? I think we have to look at what value materials have and find the highest and best use for them. And one example, and I'm going to steal this from Lynn, she had mentioned, so you have this soda bottle, and you go, well, using an example of just putting it away and forgetting about it forever, are you bury it in your backyard.
Right. Right.
Does that make any sense? So it seems to me that, and I use this example when I'm talking with children, is we have a soda bottle here, and I'm going to have some of you be the soda bottle. Some of you are going to go off to the landfill, and you're going to be buried forever. You will never become anything else. You must sit in the corner and stay there. The rest of you children, I'm going to give you a soda bottle, and you're going to become a new fleece jacket or a new fleece socks or a new fleece blanket, and you're going to travel around the world, or you're going to get loved and hugged and worn and used. Which do you prefer? And it's really stark. The children who are set to the landfill in the corner, they keep wanting to move. I said, nope, that's it. You're done. Your life is done. That's what you're going to stay in that landfill forever. And it's watching their faces, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
They get it.
Yeah, that's a pretty dramatic way to describe all of it. Lynn, are we big-time recyclers in Wisconsin? Do most of us recycle, and what do we recycle?
Well, we are big-time recyclers, and we're long-time recyclers, too, because we've been doing this since the recycling law came into effect in full around 1995 statewide. Very few states have a law as comprehensive as Wisconsin's, in that our recycling requirements apply not only to items that are produced at home, but also to items that are produced at business locations, schools, hospitals, institutions, and the like. And we are recycling a tremendous amount of the basic recyclables that our state requires everyone to recycle, which would be aluminum cans, glass and plastic containers, newspaper, cardboard, office paper. But what's interesting to me about Wisconsin, in part, is that one of the cool things that's happened since the recycling law passed is that lawmakers haven't added too many items to that list. They've added a few things like used auto oil, for example. But at the same time, there's been a huge surge in voluntary recycling in our state. There are construction and demolition recycling facilities in our state, and some additional facilities are actually being constructed in Dane County right now. And there's office paper recycling that has expanded to all sectors, even though it's technically only required of office sectors. So recycling has taken on its own momentum in Wisconsin, thanks to the enthusiasm of people and good backing from our state and a lot of hard effort by communities and their recycling partners.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to landfills for a moment. Do you think that landfills are dangerous, Melissa?
They are large industrial sites. And certainly when one is visiting a landfill, one should always use caution. But landfills, as a engineered structure, provide safety for human health and the environment. That's the design of a landfill. And can hold materials for hundreds of years. So with the new Subtitle D standards, which are mandated by federal law, modern landfills provide that level of protection. Now, it doesn't mean you want to go play in them, but certainly same would apply to any industrial site. They do provide a level of protection for those things that we want to keep away from human health and the environment, and that's what landfills do.
And have we cut down on the amount of waste that we're sending to landfills in Wisconsin?
What has happened is you do see an ebb and flow of waste going to landfills, and it does ebb and flow with the economy because, of course, as people are job insecure, financially strapped, they don't buy new items, they certainly don't throw things out. You don't see construction projects going on. But it's been fairly static. At the same time that we've seen an increase of recycling, we see a sort of a moderation in the amount of materials going to the landfill. And here's an example. You know, it used to be that coal ash, so it's a high-volume industrial byproduct, always went to a landfill. There weren't a lot of choices. Well, the utilities in our state and around the country have found ways to recycle that or reuse that in concrete and drywall and in other building products. So in Wisconsin, I believe the statistics, and I might be off by a percent or two, is 85% of the coal ash used or combusted in Wisconsin is diverted into productive use instead of landfilling.
One of the things that you wanted to talk about, and I'd like to hear both of you discuss this, is how changes in what you buy and how you buy it are changing recycling.
Well, it's happened slowly, but if people think about it, they'll realize that what's on the grocery store shelves has changed, and that means that there have been changes in what's in your recycling bin and your trash can as well. 10 years ago, the place you saw plastic pouches, for example, would be for juice. A particular brand of juice came in those pouches, those flexible pouch packages. Today, everything from baby food to breakfast cereal is coming in those pouches, and the use of those pouches is growing at somewhere around 5 to 6.5% per year. So within just a few years, a much larger percentage of the material that you buy in the store and the things that you throw away are going to be those pouches. The other change that we've seen is one that, you know, everyone can recognize, and that's that newspapers are smaller. People are accessing news online more frequently.
Yes.
There's a lot less newspaper. Ironically, there's a lot more cardboard, and that's because we're shopping online. And those cardboard boxes that are showing up on your doorstep are actually increasing the amount of cardboard that's coming through our recycling plants. And then another big line of change would be the growth of plastics. Manufacturers have moved away from glass and continue to move away from glass and into plastic packaging for a number of reasons. This has created some challenges for recyclers because it means that we have to adapt a recycling plant, to be able to handle this changing mix of materials. And we have to have markets for these new materials at the back end. We don't have a way to recycle all of these new packages today. And so our economics have changed. It's become more costly to recycle things because materials weigh less, and we have to process more of them to get a ton of revenue out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things have created some challenges for the economics of recycling.
We're going to welcome phone calls for both of you in just one moment. We're talking about recycling, a totally different take on the subject than we had a couple weeks ago. Melissa Johnson, president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, also director of Marathon County's Solid Waste Department, is with us, as is Lynn Morgan, Waste Management of Wisconsin's Public Affairs Manager. Our phone number, do you recycle? Do you have questions about what is most important to recycle? We have yet to talk substantially about how recycling has eliminated some of the greenhouse gases and is combating climate change in this country. And the benefit, which we have yet to talk about, economic benefit, which really is quite substantial in most states in the country. We'll talk about why. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter, and that's @KDunnShow. Scotty just alerted me, those of you who heard yesterday's program, fascinating one about this LA Times investigative piece done with the Columbia School of Journalism as well, looking at Exxon and their internal study of climate change and what they were saying externally about climate change. New York's, this is a breaking news thing, New York's Attorney General is investigating whether Exxon Mobil lied about climate change risks. So that story will be carried on. All right, let's take your phone calls. We'll do it in just one moment. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're looking at, the economic benefit of recycling in the state of Wisconsin as we continue our conversation. Our phone number, lines are open, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. To uncover the reasons behind bullying and many other forms of violent behavior, the author of a new book says we need to confront shame, and specifically the idea of weaponized shame, on Central Time after 3 o'clock today. Let's go to calls, and we start with Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
I was a fifth grade teacher, and we always did the old renew, reuse, recycle. And, you know, my husband's family is from Vermont, New England, Massachusetts, and they were always use it up, use it out, do without or do without. And we're that same way in Wisconsin. Kirk's parents would take things in our Wisconsin home and bury them in the ground. Mm. And we have, like, tried to plant trees and do things, and Kirk goes, oh, I remember that. We dig up old cans.
Oh, no.
We dig up old glass. And I said, all right, but my big thing is that our local our local trash place that we take the dump, we call it the dump, we take the dump to, they're closed their hours. I mean, they're only open twice a week, and they're only open like 2 hours a week. So we have to, like, be there within, like, we're in Washera County. We have to be there and with, you know, to get our recyclables there. Why is this? You would think Wisconsin would be open to people, like, getting rid of their recyclables.
I can take that one if you don't mind, Kathleen.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I feel your pain, Lynn. I understand that. I used to live in a municipality in Manitowoc County, actually, that had a drop-off that was limited hours. And these are really set by local governments and their ability to fund how long a garbage and recycling drop-off is open. And, of course, a lot of that depends on local budgets. So, you know, getting involved at the local level, helping to understand the goals of your local municipality. Maybe they don't have enough staffing for those drop-off locations. And so maybe saying, hey, can we do something to have it open a little more frequently to accommodate people who have, you know, small children or the working folks in our community. But you see that in rural communities, the town drop-offs are very, very common. And their hours of operation are really limited by their town budgets.
And I thought it was state. I didn't realize it was local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for the call. You talked about how Wisconsin has been at the forefront of recycling efforts. Are there needs for more money for keeping places open more than they are? Is there a need for more money from the state to go into recycling programs in the state? Melissa?
Well, there's always a need for income coming into programs and how we fund them. Historically, the recycling program has been funded by a landfill tax, a fee at the landfill that we assess, and that's increased over the years. It started out at about 30 cents. It is now at $7. And that money is used to offset the cost of recycling programs locally. It's also used to help support staff at the DNR so that they can run the program. Of course, none of them work for free. And also, in the past, it's done some wonderful things like research through the Solid and Hazardous Waste Education Center and UW Solid Waste Research, and those two programs have been defunded completely.
Mm.
All the while the taxes have been increasing at landfills, the amount of money available to local jurisdictions through what's called the basic recycling grant has diminished over time. In 2009, the amount sent to local municipalities was just shy of $30 million. There was about $36 million collected in that fee. And then now, of course, in 2016, the amount that's going to be set aside for municipalities is $15
million. $15
million? Yes. That's a one-time cut, and then in 2017, it will go back to $19 million. But we're still collecting approximately $33 to $36 million a year in that tax.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be great if we could help offset the costs of these local programs, make sure they've got robust education programs so people can recycle right, have more opportunities, like Lynn, our friend from Washira County, who maybe her town drop-off could be open another
right.
evening a week.
Well, what's happening to all the money, all that extra money then? The money that
sure. Lynn, you want to cover?
Well, the money is being used for a number of state programs. Some of it goes into the general fund.
Oh.
Other money is used for bonding. At one point, some of the money was used for a non-point source reduction program. And it's created a lot of difficulties for recyclers because while our state landfill taxes are higher than ever, our state is investing much less in landfill alternatives. And so the same folks that are bearing the cost of municipal recycling programs, the local communities, are also bearing the cost of the increased landfill taxes, but not getting much benefit directly from it.
Mm-hmm. Judy in Racine is next. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I have two questions. One, a long time ago, I'm old, so we used to separate. We had a garbage can that, you know, had trash, a garbage can that had cans, and then the newspaper we bundled separately. And now everything gets thrown together, and
yes.
You see, you know, pictures of how they sort the recycling stuff, and I can't imagine what paper is like by the end of that process. That's one question. And the other question is, I think the limiting packaging is a big thing. You know, like if you buy deodorant, you don't need it in a cardboard container besides. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm
Thank
curious.
You. Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
I'd like to speak to that if I could.
Sure.
Judy, it is mysterious to think about what happens to those recyclables that you mix all together that you use to separate out by hand and put in separate containers, which were then loaded in a truck that had separate compartments for each commodity. Now, in many communities in Wisconsin, it all goes in one cart, and it's taken to a large recycling plant. There are several regional recycling plants in Wisconsin, and there are new technologies that have come about in the last 10 to 15 years that make it cost-effective to sort those materials by their product type. We do see some increased contamination. Paper sometimes can get contaminated as it moves through that system, but that increase in contamination is offset by the fact that these more convenient programs recycle a lot more material. So these programs that allow people to mix their recyclables are typically recycling anywhere from 20 to 30% more than the old-fashioned program. Yeah. So we trade a little bit more contamination for a lot more convenience that leads to a lot more recycling.
Mm-hmm. What about some of that packaging? The things that drive me nuts, and you don't know why they're packaged that way, you know, that real heavy, heavy plastic that's put on top, and then you got the cardboard thing, and you take the scissors, and you can't cut it, and you cut your hand. And you know, I mean, you're thinking, what the heck are they doing this for?
What you're describing is packaging rage, and it's a common phenomena on Christmas mornings all over the country. The good news is that manufacturers are really in a dramatic fashion, moving to get as much excess material out of their packaging as they can. They're doing that because transportation costs a lot of money. They want a lightweight. They don't want to ship something they don't have to, whether it's the packaging or the product.
Right.
And they're doing it because they're evaluating themselves, many of the large companies and many of the small companies as well are evaluating themselves on sustainability efforts
mm-hmm.
that include things like what are their products creating out in the marketplace? I don't know when we'll get rid of those difficult packages. I've often wondered myself, I wonder if the
I'll
person...
I'll bet you have.
I wondered if the CEO of this company had ever tried to open their own package. So
yeah. There's a cute statistic out there, and I use this when I'm doing presentations, and I think it's, the last time I checked, something like 5 to 6,000 emergency room visits a year in the United States from trying to open with those packages with those, and that you know, razor or scissors, knife, screwdriver, whatever you can get. So... you know, and to add on to Lynn's thing about packaging and companies sort of self-checking themselves, many companies in the United States, of course, want to sell in the European market. And many of the European countries, they have what is called the Green Dot Program. And the Green Dot Program says that the manufacturer of a product is responsible for the packaging. And so that means that they have to set up some sort of system of recycling and manage the packaging after the consumer and the retailer don't want it. And what that does is it drives lightweight packaging, it drives easier to recycle packaging, and less packaging.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Beth in Weyerhaeuser next. Hi, Beth.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I have a question that I'd like to direct towards your waste management representative. I recently... received a dumpster from Waste Management and tried to get a recycling dumpster at the same time and was told that the Timberline Trail facility did not support recycling. Yet they say they have recycling. They have specific dumpsters for recycling, but I've also witnessed the garbage dumpster being taken up to the top of the hill by the truck and dumped in, and then they come back and get a recycling one and dump it in the exact same place. And I just feel everyone needs an explanation as to why that's happening.
I'm really puzzled by what you're describing. That certainly would not be a situation that I have ever encountered. And what I'd like to do, if you would be willing, I'll give our facility manager a call and let him know that you're going to be giving us a call. And I'd like to get more information from you about what you think you're observing. We're the largest recycler in the state. We handle the recyclables for about one out of two, so about half the households in the state and many tens of thousands of the businesses. We've made a big investment in recycling, and we're certainly doing everything we can to make sure that those recyclables wind up in the wrong place. So if you'd be willing to give our facility a call again after this show, I'll give our facility manager a call and let him know that we need to connect on this.
All right. There you go, Beth.
Yeah, because I would, you know, I wanted to get a recycling dumpster. I mean, I have to go there tomorrow with a pickup truck load out once. But when I was told, you know, that the local facility did not support recycling, I was really confused.
Yeah.
I can fill a dumpster up with it.
Well, give them a call. You got a direct line now to get your situation heard. Thank you, Beth, very much for the call. Let's go to Dottie in Sister Bay. Hi, Dottie.
Hi. I have two questions, and now I don't know if you're going to answer them. It's in regard to bag recycling a little bit. One of them is my prescription drugs come from mail order.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a plastic bag that is does not say recyclable on it, but yet I get other bags from like L.L. Bean, and I think they are recyclable. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you knew the difference.
How do you know? Yeah, how do you know?
Typically, plastic film falls into a couple of categories of types of plastic. Plastic bags and film shouldn't go in your recycling bin. Primarily the reason, and I would say in 99% of the communities in Wisconsin, when that plastic film gets in the recycling cart, and Lynn had said, you know, we send all of this collected recyclables off to a recycling plant. Well, when it's processed, it goes across these screens and these machines, and all of that plastic then gets wrapped into those machines.
Mm.
So in many communities, and you can go, it's the acronym is WRAP, if you Google that, plastic film, there is the plastics industry is actually trying to capture some of this plastic. And the locations where they have these, they are drop-offs, and frequently they are retail establishments. There are some Targets, there are some Walmarts and other retail locations that have joined with WRAP to accept plastic films. So plastic bags, plastic films, everything, you know, from the bread bag to the wrapping around your toilet paper packaging. So it's plastic, yes, indeed. Some of it is polyethylene, which is recyclable. but not in the curbside cart. And but if you check out WRAP, Google WRAP plastic film, you might be able to find a location in the Sister Bay area or even down into the Green Bay area that has a drop-off for those plastic films.
Great. Have we become much more conscientious? Have stores become conscientious, certainly, and consumers, in trying to not use plastic bags when we shop?
I think so. You know, plastic bags still cost the retailer some money. They
right.
have to you know, pay to have that brought into their store and store it and then use it. I think we've all witnessed it, whether we're going to the grocery store or to Kohl's or somewhere else, is many people are now bringing their own bags. And many of the bags they bring are cleanable, because one of the criticisms, of course, is they weren't cleanable. They are very rugged, but able to be cleaned and used over and over.
Right. Dottie, thanks very much for your call. Heather is next in Winona. Hi, Heather.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I recently visited the La Crosse Children's Museum and was talking to the gal about recycling my coffee cup, and she said, we don't recycle. And I was like, oh, boy. So I called the downtown La Crosse, and it is a law. You have to recycle. And I found out that houses get their recycle bins from their taxes, but businesses have to pay for those bins. So that's my first question, is why do businesses have to pay for recycling bins? And then it went a little farther, where it was just the one gentleman in La Crosse who checks on businesses to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, it's a one-man job that he has to go around to how many businesses in La Crosse to make sure that they are recycling. So I ended up calling Waste Management, and the gentleman there had talked to me and said, you know, we offer recycling, we offer garbage, we can give you one or the other or both. You do have to pay if you're a business. But he wasn't in, the Waste Management also not in charge of enforcing the law. So I'm wondering, who's in charge of enforcing the recycling in Wisconsin, you know, because you don't really find, you know, it's that one guy in La Crosse who can go there and give him a citation, but he's got a lot of other things going on, I imagine, too. So, and if it wasn't a person who calls to tell him that, and nobody, there's no recycling in the area, you know, maybe on your streets, things like that. So I just wondered, who's in charge
right.
of recycling?
You were on the case, Heather.
I love it.
Yeah.
There are a couple of threads here. One point that you're highlighting is there are a lot of opportunities in recycling. And one of the opportunities that we have as a state is to increase recycling away from home. So recycling at the gas station, recycling at a hotel, recycling at a library or museum, every one of these locations under state law and local law needs to have recycling options for visitors and tenants and people who work there so that they can recycle the things that we're required to recycle under our state law. The dilemma is that under the law, the municipalities, the communities, are responsible for facilitating household recycling, making sure that there's a service of some sort for households to recycle. But the way that recycling is applied to the non-residential sector is through the requirement that they obtain their own carts and arrange their own hauling. That's consistent with how garbage is handled. So historically, the municipalities don't provide the garbage service, so now they don't provide the garbage and the recycling service, and the businesses are responsible for buying that service. But to your question of who ensures compliance, this is a very interesting part of Wisconsin's history. Even though recycling took off in Wisconsin because a state law passed 25 years ago and it went into effect about 20 years ago, and, you know, we can talk about the fact that there's a state law, one of the secrets is that there was virtually no enforcement of recycling at all for, I would say, the first 15 or so, Melissa, check me on this.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
about right, yeah.
The first 15 or so years. What happened was that by requiring communities and businesses to provide convenient recycling options for people, guess what? The public was ready, willing, and able to start recycling. You didn't have to send someone out to ticket them or check
right.
their garbage carts.
No.
As recycling has matured, we've started to look at, okay, how do we keep this growing and how do we move this forward? And that's where things like communities getting involved in compliance to whatever extent they can, and their resources are limited, have come about. The real way to get people to recycle, I think, though, isn't to have laws that and enforcement that go out and push recycling. It's to help people understand the benefits and see a benefit and pull them into recycling. So there's not enough recycling going on in every sector of our economy in Wisconsin, and that's one of the places where I think we all agree there's a big opportunity to do a lot more.
Thank you very much, Heather, for your call. Wayne in Marshfield, hello.
Hello. I was upset several weeks ago when the other your last recycling program, and one of the points that was made, it's cheaper to bury it than. To me, I get very upset when this is too expensive, that's too expensive. It's expensive taking care of sewage. We can dump it in the river cheaper, but there's all kinds of downsides on that. And so I think Wisconsin has an excellent recycling program. Within the last 2 years, we moved into the city of Marshfield. But previously, we lived in a township. And first, we had every first Saturday of the month, we brought things to the town hall. And then in the last couple of years, it was picked up on garbage day in a recycling bin. And even if it does cost more, it's putting people to work. All of that isn't just for nothing. People are working. The things are running smoother. And our environment is protected. And I just am real proud of Wisconsin. We spent for 18 years after I retired, we spent winters working in Texas in a training center for a large mission organization. And they didn't have any in Dallas. They didn't have any good recycling. Just throw it in the trash. Sure, that's quick and easy, but it's just kicking the can down the road, literally.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
Here, Wayne. I think we have a new recycling spokesperson in Wayne.
Right.
He hit on something really important, and this is about jobs. We have paper mills in Wisconsin. Georgia Pacific is one of them in Green Bay. There's a couple in the Fox Valley, south of Green Bay, and throughout Wisconsin. Their primary source of feedstock for production is post-consumer and post-industrial papers. They recycle they use recycled paper for their primary feedstock for production. And, you know, you look at Georgia Pacific in Green Bay, a very long-term paper mill there. It's gone through a couple of different names, but they employ 1,600 people. And if they can't obtain a reliable, affordable feedstock through this with recycled paper, what does it mean to those 1,600 people? And that's just one mill. So we've got foundries in Wisconsin that rely on steel cans as a feedstock. This is about business in Wisconsin.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Don't kick the can down the road. that's a good one. Easy.
Yeah. I want him as the new Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin PR person.
Okay.
So.
I think he'd sign up in a moment. Jeanette writes on Facebook, she heard our other guest a couple weeks ago. Your other guest spoke about the futility of recycling glass because it breaks into tiny pieces. How is this problem solved other than returning the bottles to the dealer?
Well, this is always, glass is going to be a challenge. And she hits on something. We, of course, glass is banned from landfills, and we do our best to try and find ways to recycle it. Industry is looking at some best management practices and how we can manage glass a little bit better. But she points out something important. It is a challenge to recycle glass.
Can we recycle it?
Yes.
Yes.
It can be. What happens in the process is it frequently does get broken into smaller pieces. The glass industry hasn't spent a lot of money in technology that would be able to sort out those smaller pieces of glass. Some of the MRFs have optical scanners, and they actually can pick up on the colors of the larger pieces and do great jobs of that. It's the smaller pieces that we'd really like to capture and send to recycling and made into new bottles and other glass products. It may take some investment on the part of the glass industry to really find a way to sort that.
Hmm. So if you're at the store and you have a choice between a glass juice bottle or a plastic juice bottle, at this point it behooves you to do what?
My personal preference would be the plastic.
Really?
Well, for a couple of reasons. It's lighter, number one. And unless you had a need for a glass bottle, let's say, I don't know if there was a specific reason you wanted it, it's lighter, it stores in the refrigerator better. And this gets back to packaging. You're seeing more and more.
Right.
Ketchup doesn't come in a glass bottle anymore.
No.
And it's driven by weight. And if you can, your semi can only hold about 45,000 pounds in the back of that trailer, do you want to have it filled with packaging or product?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and no matter what you choose, it's usually a good bet to choose the larger package, the bulk package, as opposed to those really convenient but really packaging-intensive single-serve containers.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, you couldn't buy a single serving of carrots at a produce department. Today, you can. And if you can move away whenever you have the choice from the small individual package to the bulk package,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe fill reusable containers at home when you need to tote smaller servings along with you, that is a way that you can really have an impact on this whole question.
We're talking about recycling this hour of the show in response to a program that we had a couple weeks ago that was, well, not only in this state and on our show, but created quite a response, an article that was published in the opinion section of the Sunday Review of the New York Times. Our guests heard that show and said, we'd like to present another idea, and we had planned to do that anyhow and said, sure, come on the air. So Melissa Johnson is with us, president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, also director of Marathon County's Solid Waste Department, and Lynn Morgan is the Waste Management of Wisconsin's Public Affairs Manager. Our phone number, our lines have been crowded, but just keep it in your head, and I hope you get through. 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Judy in Eau Claire, hi.
Hi. I was wondering about recycling batteries and light bulbs. I think, for one, most people maybe don't realize that those need to be recycled. And then I was also wondering where to take them. And I've heard it costs as much as like $1 to recycle a light bulb, that the customer has to pay $1 per light bulb. Is that true?
It depends on your local program. First, let's back up just a little bit. Is the light bulbs, fluorescent bulbs, and rechargeable batteries and other batteries, except for lead-acid batteries, your car batteries, are not required to be recycled. It's an optional program, and this is an example of what Lynn was talking about before, about people wanting to include new things into the recycle. They want to recycle more items.
Right.
And so local programs, and in Eau Claire, you can probably just Google where you can get rid of those. In the Eau Claire area, Amanda Halfley is a part-time recycling coordinator in Eau Claire County, and I'm sure she'd be able to help you out and direct you in the right direction. There may be some costs involved, just like there are with the cost of picking up recycling from the curb, which there are costs involved with that. It's not free. There is maybe some costs embedded in that, and it all depends on the local program and how they're able to offset some of the costs of collecting those, managing those, and then sending them off for recycling.
Thanks, Judy. Richard in Janesville, hi.
Yes, I wanted to give you something about the mixed glass. There is a company that's called Growstone. In other words, they're using mixed glass and then turn around and make a product so you can use it in agriculture, even landscaping, in other words, growing medias. In other words, I've been using it for a few years, so this is another thing about recycling glass. So you can look at their up on their website of growstone.com, and you can find it, and that's out of New Mexico. So I just wanted to point. So it's a product that would be usable with mixed glass.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks very much. Well, let's go to Esther in Delafield. Hi, Esther.
Hi. One thing I just wanted to add to what one of your people had just said before, and not only does this recycling employ people at paper mills, but I'm thinking about all of the towns that have people that pick up your trash for you. And just think about how many people this employs, and that is almost never brought up when I hear about recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And with the lack of jobs that we have, and we're always looking to employ everybody, and, you know, that can work, and, you know, I'd hate to see these people out of work, too, you know, and they're in every town.
Sure they are. Thank you, Esther. We talked a little bit about that. Let's talk more about it. Melissa, you want to start?
I was going to have Lynn, because waste management actually employs a great number of people involved in recycling.
Okay.
And these are amazing jobs, because they are jobs that didn't necessarily exist 25 years ago in the numbers they exist in today. But they're everything from recycling plant managers to recycling drivers to brokers who specialize in marrying up the products that are coming out the back of the recycling plants with manufacturers who need them. There is an association of recyclers that has done a study and determined that on a national basis, when you look at the entire United States recycling activity, recycling contributes about 471,000 direct and indirect jobs in the United States.
Mm.
So that's a pretty big economic footprint.
It is indeed. Thank you very much, Esther, for your call. Our number, 800-486-8655. Before we take more phone calls, and I'm wondering, I don't want to leave this show without some place for people to go. We've mentioned a few websites and things during the course of the hour for information about when places are open for recycling, where we're moving into recycling that maybe we couldn't have done before, new areas for recycling, what is acceptable for recycling. Where do you get all of that information?
In Wisconsin, well, Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin has a website called recyclemorewisconsin.org,
okay,
all one word, and that website really is designed to help people understand what happens to recycling, where does it go, what happens to it, what should I recycle, those types of things. We're actually going to be changing that website with additional information. And then Earth 911 is also a great resource.
Mm.
And Lynn, did you have others?
Well, you've named two of my favorites. There's also RORR.com, which is Recycle Often, Recycle Right. That's a website that Waste Management puts out there to help people learn a little bit more about what they can do to help recycling programs by preventing contamination of recyclables and making sure that the things they're recycling are supposed to be in the recycling stream.
Mm, great. Let's go to Alan in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, thank you. Would like to know where the policy changes happened. When I was younger, I'm almost 40. When I was younger, there was a big thing about give a hoot, don't pollute. All the recycling stuff was happening then. I traveled a pretty extensive amount around the southeast and central part of the country. And like this spring, I was camping down by the Ohio River. And the amount after the flooding that happened, it was just full of trash.
Yeah.
The trash and Wisconsin, I don't want to see Wisconsin get to that point, and I feel like we're moving that direction. So like the rest of the country is. And I'll take your response out.
Thanks,
there.
Thank Alan.
You.
Thank you.
Well, Alan, I agree with you. I don't want to see Wisconsin end up as a big polluted mass of land that was once beautiful. We don't want to have that wondering sort of look at Wisconsin and wonder what was. And that's why my colleagues like Lynn and so many in Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin and others across the state, we work so hard and want to share this message about recycling. Waste reduction is also married to that, and proper resource management. That's our goal. That's all we do all day long. We are focused on protecting human health and the environment. And we are driven by that mission, and that's why we're here today.
Mm. And Kevin in Madison, hi.
Yes, hi. Quick question. I currently manufacture candles by hand and would like to know, is there a way of recycling petroleum and or natural wax candles or wax materials?
Lynn.
Wow. Well, one of my favorite places to go with questions like that is the website Melissa mentioned, earth911.com. You can type in the type of material that you are attempting to recycle, and it will tell you if it knows of any options across the country, but especially locally, that might be available. So I would start there.
That's a good place. Earth911.com. It's a good website title, too. Thank you both very much for being with us. It was informative and an interesting hour, and thanks for reaching out.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thanks. Melissa Johnson, president of the Associated Recyclers of Wisconsin, also the director of Marathon County's Solid Waste Department. Lynn Morgan, also our guest, Waste Management of Wisconsin's Public Affairs Manager. Thanks to Scotty Myers for producing this hour. And to Scott as well for doing on-air production here in our downtown Milwaukee studios.